And as you do, tonight we're actually going to spend some time considering the response of the wise men. And to begin, I thought we'd have a bit of fun with this. And I've got a game we're all going to play together. And it's a real simple game. It's going to come up on the screen. And this game is called The Wise Men Camel Race. All you have to do is you have to pick a color. There's a red one, a green one, and a blue one. And there's only one rule. There's no swapping halfway through. So you have to pick a red, green, or blue camel. The race is going to start now. You can play the game. Go ahead, Matt. So here we go. There's a red, a blue, and a green one. Choose your wise man. You got one? Who's red? Who's blue? Who's green? No changing. Here they go. Off they go. It looks like the green one is in the lead. He's got a clear lead. The green one is definitely winning. But oh no, look at the blue one. He's coming ahead. Go blue. Yes, the blue one. No, it might be the red. Is it the red? Who's after the red? It looks like the red might win. No, no, the green. Who's ahead now? Is it the green? Is it the red? Oh, it's definitely, look at the red. He's coming through. Yeah, way to go, red. Oh, it looks like the green one took off too fast. Oh, it's neck and neck right here towards the end. They're coming up to the last little bit. And no, it looks like the blue one has come ahead. Is it the blue one? Is it going to be the blue one? No, wait, it's not over. It might be the red. Which, how long does this go for? They had a while to go, didn't they? Come on, blue, come on. It's a close. Oh, is it the red? Oh, and it's the blue! Raise your hand if you said blue. Well done, all you blue out there. Well done. For your prize, you can go have a sausage after the service with everybody else. Well, before we actually continue and consider what was read to us, I just want to thank all the kids who were involved this evening. They did a fantastic job, so thanks, kids, for being involved. Well, you know, Christmas can be a tricky time of year, can't it? There is the busyness of finishing work and school. There's all the logistics around where you might celebrate Christmas, who you might celebrate it with, what food needs to be organized. And the kids, they get excited about all the presents, but the adults, oftentimes, it feels very weary. And there's the never-ending pressure projected on us for weeks and even months to lead up on that day, the pressure that Christmas needs to look just right. But even more than that, there's the pressure of our presence for that special loved one. And see, we can find ourselves being flustered, trying to find the perfect gift, can't we, for our loved ones? There's always that one person, isn't there, that's really difficult, and you have no idea what to get to them. Well, I've come with good news. Yep. If you have been struggling to find the perfect gift, or if you're wondering about whether you really have found that perfect gift for that loved one, there is still time. I have a gift. I've got just the thing for you guys. And what's even better is there's still time to grab it before tomorrow morning. You can leave here tonight and you've got an idea of what to get your loved ones that they have always wanted. It is the gift of their very own star. Yep, that's right. You can actually purchase a gift of a star for that precious, that special loved one in your life. And you can name that star after them. Now, you actually have a few options that I want to fly past you. There's the standard star that you can buy, and that star will cost you a total of $39.95. Yeah, not bad, is it? To purchase a star and name it after your loved one. But why get the standard star when you can purchase an extra bright star for only $59.95? That's right. Tonight you can go away and purchase an extra bright star for only $59.95. A gift of a star is a gift that would be remembered for a lifetime, wouldn't it? I think naming a star after someone would be the ideal Christmas present this year. And I was actually tempted to buy one for a special loved one for, you know, I thought it would be a great present for her. I mean, the good thing is, first of all, there's a lot of stars out there, isn't it? So you don't have to worry about it being sold out in the stores or anything like that. It turns out there's actually more stars in the sky than there are people. Not just people that live here and now, that have ever lived. There's more stars than there are people that have ever lived. I mean, our own Milky Way, they say, holds somewhere between 100 and 400 billion stars. And that is only one galaxy from potential trillions of galaxies in the universe. Which then made me realize something, that a star, it's actually not very significant at all, is it? I mean, if you think about it, there may already be a star out there called Matt Leach. Maybe. I mean, there may already be a star out there with your name on it. Who knows? What would make my star or your star stand out from any other star? Well, because there's so many stars in the universe, the reality is that each and every star is not that special, is it? But that's not the case for one particular star. This one star appeared over 2,000 years ago. And this star was of such a significance that it had wise astronomers not only paying attention to it, but being led in the direction to where it was pointing. The one star was like no other star. Now, I wonder what you make of these wise men, or these magi, as they're called in Matthew's gospel. We read about them as part of the Christmas story, don't we? We know them from the Christmas carols, and they feature in the nativity scenes and on Christmas cards. But I wonder if you've ever realized how little is actually said about them in the Bible. Everything we know about these wise men is written down in front of you. We're never told exactly how many of them there were, or precisely where they came from. What we do know is that they came from the east and that they had traveled for some time in search of this newborn king. And we don't know how they traveled. We don't know if they rode on camels or horses or donkeys. We're not told, because it doesn't really matter. Instead, we are told a few things that do matter. See, even though they came from quite far away, even though they followed a star to Bethlehem, they also must have been familiar with the Old Testament prophecies about the coming of a new king. In the Old Testament, we are told that the people of God were scattered throughout distant lands. And as they were scattered, they would have taken with them the writings of the prophets. And these prophets, in their writings, anticipated a day when there would be a new king. One of these prophecies was read to us earlier, and you can see it in your service handout in front of you. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And this was just one of the prophets that wrote anticipating this new king. These magi knew that he was to be born in Bethlehem, which means they also likely had read or heard about the prophet Micah, who told God's people that this king would be born in Bethlehem. But I still find this journey that these magi took quite fascinating. And it's fascinating because as foreigners, they were searching for this king who would actually be the king of the Jews. And they were looking for this Jewish king in a nation that was under Roman rule. What else is fascinating is that at this time, these wise men were looking for a Jewish king in the nation of Israel, which had no position to have a king rule over them. I mean, Israel was part of the Roman Empire, one of the greatest empires known to man. And in fact, Matthew chapter 2, verse 3 tells us of King Herod, who was the Roman king at that time. And in fact, there's actually a lot written about King Herod and the evil things that he had done in order to ensure that no one threatened his position as king. And so we see these wise men from a completely different nation searching for a new king, finding him, and then offering him gifts. And look what they do as well. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, we read, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him." Clearly, this child who was born must have been something quite significant if these magi would stop at nothing to find him, determined to offer him their gifts, and then in adoration bow down and worship him. So what makes this child so special in a world where hundreds of babies are born every day? What makes this one so important? In these verses, we're given two names that explain exactly who this child is and why he is so special. Firstly, in Matthew 1:23, he is given the name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And then in Matthew 1:21, Joseph is told to give him the name Jesus, which means he will save his people from their sins. Emmanuel, God is with us. Here we are told that because of this child, God is actually now with us. In Jesus, we see God enters into the world that he has created in order for us to know him in the most accessible way possible, to understand him as one of us. It is as this baby grows, as we witness Jesus become a man and minister to the people around him, and as we see him and his death and resurrection at the cross, that we realize that he has come to bring lasting peace and joy and a love that can only come from the God that made us and knows us personally. We see Jesus comfort those who are hurting. He sits and listens to those who are struggling. And in his kindness and goodness, and because he can do only what God can do, he has the power to act in ways that bring about change for each and every person who believes in him. But perhaps you don't think about God in this way. Maybe you think of a God who seems far away, or perhaps a God who is distant or not there at all. And kids, you may have heard a number of different ideas about God, or perhaps you still wonder if he's even real or not. And maybe you've heard that God is some form of spiritual life source. You might think that believing in him is silly, like believing in an imaginary friend. You may also think that it doesn't matter whether you believe in a God or not. But the Bible says differently. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the exact imprint of God. and that through Jesus we can know God more than through anything else, because he is God with us. And in this Bible reading from Matthew, we are told that he was born to be with us for a specific purpose, and that purpose is to save us from our sins. Now, I know that it's Christmas Eve, and some people may say, this is not the time to talk about sin. But I want to share with you a little bit of a different aspect of sin that you may not have actually thought about before. And I thought I would read a few lines from this book that came out by Sam Chan. The book is called The Missing Piece. We have a number of copies of this book on the back table. Please take one on your way out. You might like to read it to yourself and then pass it on to a friend. It's our gift to you. In it, Sam explains sin in a bit of a different way. You'll see the words actually come up on the screen as I read this. So what does the Bible mean by sin? What exactly is Jesus coming to save us from? Well, we can start to answer that question by first asking, what is Jesus coming to save us to? According to the Bible, Jesus saves us from our sins to enjoy peace. If we start from here, then sin is the opposite of having peace. Sin is having things not in their right place. We will see this in our heart, our thoughts, actions, and relationships. So sin is a serious because it stops us being the best people we can be, and it adversely affects those around us. And ultimately, the most serious aspect of sin is that it cuts us off from God. In the same way that a leaf separated from its tree is cut off from its life-giving source, our sin means that we are cut off from the God who made us and gave us life. We're already dead in this life because we're living it without God. And after death, we'll be truly dead, with no chance of a future life with God, an experience of endless eternal darkness of separation from God. This is sin. And so our sin is the reason why we don't experience the peace we long for and we're designed to enjoy. Peace with ourselves, peace with others, and peace with God. In light of the fact that we have a God who has chosen to come and be with us, it is only right that he then has the means and the ability and the desire to save us from the very thing that separates us from him. You might like to grab a copy of this book and read more of it in the quiet days that come after Christmas. If our sin is what separates us from God and prevents us to have peace within ourselves, peace with others, and peace with God, then I would argue that the person who can save us from our sins is someone who is worth searching for. And I am convinced that if you find Jesus, you will discover that he really is worth bowing down before and worshiping. So, the Magi from the East are excellent examples for us. If you are here today and you're still searching in this world elsewhere for satisfaction in your life, desperately hoping to find fulfillment, I want to encourage you today to stop and to consider Jesus. In saving us from our sins, he alone fills our life with peace and hope for the future. And this is why Christmas is so special. The Savior of the world has come. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And we call him Jesus because he is the only one who will save us from our sins. These wise magi show us the right way to respond to him. I wonder how many times you've sung the Christmas carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. It's a great carol, isn't it? And in it we repeat these words, O come, let us adore him. We repeat it three times. We repeat them as a reminder of the great need that we all have, a need to respond to what Jesus has done for us, because he has done exactly what his name says. He has come and he has saved us from our sins. And so the right response for each and every one of us today is to do as the Magi did when they followed that star. We too can bow down and worship him. Well, in a minute, I'm going to give you time to stop and reflect on what you think about what these Magi did when they found the one that they had heard about and that they had been searching for. What will your response be? I'm going to invite Beck and Izzy up now. And they're going to sing for us. And as they sing, take a minute to consider how you will respond.